hello. I wish I was a little.
Welcome back to the program.
I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl.
First hour is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance. 314-298-7770. Joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the managing editor for VivaAlbertos.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards. Craig Edwards, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing great. So were you really surprised that the Cardinals didn't make one single move on Monday at the trade deadline?
You know, I wasn't shocked by it, but yeah, it was surprising. I think that everybody expected the Cardinals to sort of do something. They had some pieces that people thought might be pretty valuable, and it seemed like every year they at least add something for the bullpen. But it turns out that there wasn't really a right fit. You know, I'm not a person that thinks that you need to go out and necessarily add the bullpen arm just because it's available. But I think that the Cardinals need a big change, and that's what they're looking for, and unfortunately it wasn't out there for him.
The way that Rosenthal has looked in the eighth and ninth innings, and sometimes pitching both the eighth and the ninth innings, I think that they maybe they've stumbled onto the closer of their future. It seems kind of crazy considering that he's been in the bullpen the entire time. But the way he's looking, do you think that maybe they can hold on to him long-term as their closer?
Well, I mean, he's been, off and on, been their closer over the last 2 years. We've seen, Rosenthal pitch well and pitch poorly, and that's sort of, it comes and goes with all relievers, I think, for the most part. And I think that if he can continue to pitch like this, then, unless they trade him in the offseason, he's definitely going to be their closer for next season. I think that, he deserved to lose the job in the middle of last season, and he's deserved to get it back with the way he's pitched this season. And I think, in each of the last 2 years, the two players, Owen Rosenthal, have flip-flopped, and, maybe both times they could have made that call earlier. But he's definitely the closer for the present, and probably the closer for 2018, although I don't know that the Cardinals are going to be the organization that gives him big money as a closer in free agency, because that doesn't seem to be generally the way they operate.
Priority number one for the Cardinals this offseason, if they don't hold on to Rosenthal, is it to find that lockdown closer, or is it to find that middle-of-the-order bat that they really haven't had since Pujols left?
No, it's finding the guy that doesn't have to necessarily be a middle-of-the-order bat, but it has to be some sort of difference maker, somebody to sort of elevate the entire team. I beg to differ a little bit as far as Pujols leaving. I think Matt Holliday served as the middle of the order bat after he left, but as he's declined over the past 2 years, it's something that definitely has been lacking for them. Right now, Tommy Pham has hit like a middle of the order bat. We've seen Carpenter at times hit like a middle of the order bat, but I think it'd be good if they could plug somebody in sort of into that cleanup spot that you knew if you got some guys on base that they could drive them home.
Craig Edwards from Viva Alberto's joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards. Craig, what do you make of this spat between Yadier Molina and manager Mike Matheny? Is this just purely coincidence that he's doing this right when Carson Kelly gets called up from Triple A Memphis, or do you think there's something more deep rooted going on here?
I don't know exactly how to sort of frame exactly what's going on, because in a lot of ways, Mike Matheny is sort of right in this situation that Yadier Molina needs more rest. But at the same time, it's his job to make sure that Molina understands that and is happy with that, or if he's at least unhappy with it, he doesn't sort of take it public that he's unhappy with how things are going. I don't know that it necessarily has to do with Carson Kelly, but I think it just could be something between Matheny and Molina where they're just not totally in sync or on the same page. And it's also possible that he's a guy who's tenured, who's been around, who sort of he's got enough sway to where he could be saying things publicly that maybe other players would like to say, but really can't given their position on the team. I think that he is the leader in the clubhouse, and for better or worse, it's a situation where he might feel like he's sort of speaking out for the team. And, you know, that's sort of speculation. But when you have a bunch of guys like his Instagram post, or you have Gold Wong saying, you know, that Yachty is the St. Louis Cardinals, I mean, it's a situation where you have to think that Yachty's not going solo on this situation. And I don't think he would sort of fight back against Mike Matheny if you know, there weren't some sort of reasoning behind it, aside from he didn't start that one day and Mike Matheny might have said that he looked tired.
Yeah. If that's the case, and that spells bad news for Mike Matheny, because that could be the throes of a mutiny not too far behind. And talking about, you know, playing time and letting Yadier Molina know that there is going to be a shortage of innings, you know, being caught by him towards the end of the season, that's a conversation they should have had with him whenever he signed that contract during at the very beginning of the season, saying, look, you know, when we bring Carson Kelly up, we are going to limit your innings. If you're not cool with it, then do not sign this contract.
Oh, for sure. I don't know how you have a 3-year, $20 million a year extension after this season without even mentioning the fact that, you know, hey, you know, this comes with a few strings where you might not be catching 145 games every single year. We've got this prospect that we'd like to break in, and, you know, you're going to be 36, 37 years old when this contract comes to an end, and not too many catchers keep playing like that. I don't know how they wouldn't have had that conversation with him before the contract happened, if that's at all what they were thinking.
Can you see any kind of scenario where, if it comes down to where Matheny and Molina, they can't make a peace, these two, like the relationship is damaged beyond repair, what do you think happens in the offseason then? Do they find a way to trade Molina and get him someplace else, which I would almost be stunned to see happen? Or do you think the impossible and Mike Matheny gets fired?
Well, one guy is owed $60 million after this season and has a no-trade clause. The other guy is maybe owed, you know, $3 or $4 million after this year and, you know, can be easily replaced. I think that, especially when it comes to the fans, I think the fans are going to be a lot more upset seeing Molina go than Matheny. I think that if it came down to it where it was one guy or the other, I don't see how the organization would choose to keep Matheny over Molina. That said, I think that there's a long ways to go before it gets there, and it could be a situation where maybe Matheny goes for other reasons aside from what's going on here. But I think that I don't know how the organization would choose a guy who is potentially headed for the Hall of Fame and let him go because he has a spat with a manager who hasn't really done much since he's gotten here.
I have a text coming in from a 314. You amateurs have never obviously negotiated a contract of any size in any industry. Of course, they never said to Yachty that he would not be catching full time in negotiating that contract. Okay, well, 314, I want you to text back in all the contracts you negotiated and tell us how it should have went done. Let's see how smart you are. Craig Edwards from Viva Alberto's joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. Don't you think, though, if it came down to either Molina or Matheny and they fire Matheny, do you think that sets a dangerous precedence going forward with the manager, with the players and the manager? Hey, you know what? If you don't like the manager, just start posting something on Instagram and we'll get rid of him.
I don't know. This is a pretty unique case, I think. You know, it'd be one thing if the manager was leading them to the playoffs. It's another thing when you're several games under 500. I mean, you know, it's gotten other managers, you know, sort of losing the clubhouse fired in the past. I mean, look at what happened with Terry Francona in Boston. And, you know, that Boston, you know, had no problems replacing him and moving forward. And Terry Francona had no problems getting another job and doing quite well in Cleveland. So I don't know that it necessarily sends sort of a dangerous precedent. And, you know, ultimately, this sort of thing is Mike Matheny's job. And if he can't figure out what to do, you know, he can't go just ask the people upstairs to fix it for him. You know, he's got to figure out whatever's wrong with the clubhouse and fix it, because, you know, that's supposed to be his strength. That's what his job is right now.
Do you have a feeling that the Cardinals overvalue their prospects?
You know, I don't know if they necessarily overvalue them. I think that it's a situation where the Cardinals have, you know, in the past year, they've had one truly elite prospect in Alex Reyes. And they were probably reluctant to part with him. And then, you know, he had surgery. You know, all of their other prospects are good. You know, they've got a bunch of prospects in the top 100, probably a bunch more in that top 200. And when we've seen a lot of these big deals go down, they're taking the Alex Reyes-type player. They're not taking the Jack Flahertys, the Luke Weavers, the Harrison Baders. Those guys aren't necessarily getting deals done, so it's not necessarily that the Cardinals are overvaluing them. It's that the teams that are doing the heavy sells, particularly like the White Sox have done, they've gone after elite talents that the Cardinals don't necessarily have. That's not an indictment of the Cardinals farm system. They have a lot of great prospects, and it's one of the, you know, top 10 prospects, top 10 farm systems in baseball. But it could be that when you're trying to pull off that mega move, guys in the 50 to 100 range, even if you have a lot of them, just aren't really doing it.
Craig Edwards, we appreciate your time as always, sir, and enjoy the rest of your night and have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Thanks, Craig. That is Craig Edwards from VivaElbertos.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards. Let's take a commercial break. And then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Jason Cole. The first hour of the program is brought to you by Thomas Bax of the American Family Insurance Agency. Give him a call at 314-298-7770 to get a free insurance rate quote. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.